We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview. The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. And if you have tuned in this morning, or if you are listening to the rebroadcast of this hour on the podcast, and you are concerned for the state of the country, the state of the world, then know that you are not alone. There is a lot of concern from particularly Christians, because I think that we see things through a very different lens, which is the lens of truth, not just a lens or a view of politics or of nationality or of the mainstream media and the lenses that they would like us to put on. But it all goes back fundamentally to worldview. And the thing that all of you who tune in regularly know that I am just absolutely hammering in the last little bit of time that we have before the election in November is worldview, because this is not about Republican versus Democrat. This is not whether you love or hate Kamala Harris, you love or hate Donald Trump. It's not about a black woman versus a white man, identity politics. It's not about any of those things. Ultimately, this election comes down to the vision of America that is the difference between what a Kamala Harris administration would be versus a Donald Trump administration. And, you know, for speaking the truth, all of you know there are plenty of things that we can be concerned with or criticize or critique about the first Trump administration, or where his campaign or his policies in the GOP platform is going. And we should rightly critique those things, because our standard is truth. Our standard is not loyalty to a politician or to a political party. Our loyalty is to the person of truth himself, which is God, our Creator. That is always our standard. And when we have that as our standard, we can see that the contrast here between the world views, regardless of what we may and should critique about the potential second Trump administration, is very, very different from what we can and should critique about a potential Kamala Harris administration. And this comes down to worldview and the differences in vision between the Marxist, socialist, communist, Luciferian, demonic, evil view that the Democrats want to perpetuate in America and basically tear down our institutions of government, freedom and liberty as we know it. They want to redefine everything from gender and race to reality and what legitimacy in government means, what personal property means, what our rights mean. They want to tear all of that down and implement a Marxist communist utopia. And on the other side, we have at least a semblance of conservatism, or conserving this idea that we were founded on, which is the Judeo-Christian biblical worldview that says that our rights come from God, our Creator, not our government, and the sole legitimate purpose of government is to preserve and protect those articulable, discrete, defined rights that we as human beings made in the image of God prepossess before we even come into a system of government. No matter what time and place in history you may find yourself, whether you are an American in 2024 or you were in, you know, the ancient Roman Empire, truth has not changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he established nations in Genesis, when he established the family government in Genesis, and when we are now in the New Testament establishment of the church, God, who has all authority, and we see that even reflected in the Great Commission, all authority that is given to God. We have specific, limited, delegated authority from God in our institutions of government, and the three institutions God has ordained, the church, civil, and family governments, to exercise according to his truth. And that's the distinction. And so when we have a candidate like Kamala Harris that doesn't believe in God, is specifically promoting a false worldview and an evil and communism. I mean, all of these things that are built upon and predicated upon a false worldview that is the understanding that we can define for ourselves what reality means, what it means to be a human, and basically replace the truth of God with a reality made in our own image. This goes all the way back to the garden. This is original sin. I mean, she stands literally for government saying that we are going to create reality in our own image and we can be like God. That's wrong, it's evil, and it's false. And so these are the worldviews that we have to talk about, and I think we must be talking about if we are going to convince our fellow citizens to vote our values, which should be truth. And when we have a comprehensive biblical worldview and understanding of who God is, an understanding of what he teaches about himself in his revealed word, which is the inerrant, sufficient word of God, how he reveals himself and who we know him to be, we can build our political philosophies from there. We can understand what God requires of us in our family government, also what he requires of us in church government, and we can have a comprehensive, consistent worldview. So to talk about that more today, I'm so very blessed to welcome in Bishop E.W. Jackson, who I know is such a favorite here on AFR. And when he filled in for me, I got so many comments just saying, we are so excited that Bishop Jackson is back. And he has a podcast now on AFR called The Awakening. And you can go to AFR.net, click on that icon for podcasts, and you can find that. I would encourage all of you to listen to that. He's also the founder and president of STAND, which is Staying True to America's National Destiny. And Bishop Jackson, I cannot think of a better way to say that than the topic today is actually staying true to America's national destiny. So thanks so much for having this conversation, and good morning.
Oh, Jenna, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you. And look, your comments, your opening monologue, it's just on target, because right, this is not a contest between two parties ultimately, or two personalities, or four personalities. This is a contest really between two very different worldviews, and one, frankly, that is demonic, and one that is divine, or at least rooted and grounded in those principles that God has given us about how we should live. So it's a pleasure to join you and be able to talk about these issues.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to distill that, demonic versus divine. That just encapsulates everything. And it's not to say that, you know, Trump is the epitome of everything that right. The Christian worldview stands for, but he at least in his first administration had a lot of Christians around him and was listening to influences from Christians. I mean, do we think Kamala Harris is going to have, you know, anyone around her that is remotely Christian? I mean, she doubled down in selecting Governor Tim Walz, who is one of the most progressive radical leftists, with his record as a congressman and then especially the governor of Minnesota. I mean, they are just openly wanting to usher in the spirit of the age of a demonic policy and vision for America. And so let's break this down a little bit. Bishop E.W. Jackson, my special guest this morning, how would you describe, for people who maybe say, okay, well, you know, we don't think that Democrats are evil. Maybe they just have like a few policy differences. You know, is that kind of too much of a stretch?
I really don't think it is, because, in fact, I was just reviewing this morning in John chapter 8, where Jesus was telling his opponents, you are of your father, the devil, the deeds of your father you will do. He was a liar from the beginning because the truth is not in him. And when he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own because he's a liar and the father of it. And I just watch the lies that are being told by this party and this ticket. And it just tells me that they have no interest in truth. And God says that while we don't hate people, we're supposed to hate lies, because God hates lies and falsehoods. I mean, so for example, We're finding out about Tim Walz. He lied about his rank when he left the military. He lied about to his troops about whether he was going to go with them to Afghanistan. He lied about being in combat on his resume. He says, when I was in war, well, he was never in war. And you look at the policies that he's implemented. I mean, this idea of putting tampons in boys' bathrooms, I mean, it's based on a lie. The lie that, well, we all know, of course, that boys menstruate as well. And forgive me, folks, but these are the kinds of ungodly policies that are not only denials of truth as we know it, but denials of reality as we know it. And what that tells us is, just like all Marxists and socialists and communists before them, they're leading us in a godless direction that can only end in tragedy. And so I don't think we're overstating the case at all to say this is really good versus evil. And let me just say quickly about Donald Trump. Look, Jesus is not on the ballot, and we're not saying that Donald Trump is Jesus or that he comes anywhere even close. But, you know, we have to discern, is God using someone? Is God doing something through someone that is maybe even bigger than that person fully understands? And I really believe that that's, as a minister, someone who's been in the faith for nearly 50 years, I really believe that that is what's happening with Donald Trump right now, which is why you said it so well. You know, we don't follow Donald Trump ultimately. We're not cult-like sycophants of Donald Trump. But we see God using Donald Trump in ways that can help the country and help us. I mean, he stood up for Christianity. He's protected our First Amendment rights. He declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. He has said that there will be no boys on girls' sports and locker rooms. So there are many things that he has talked about that are completely consistent with our biblical worldview. And frankly, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz have absolutely nothing akin to a biblical worldview about anything.
Yeah, so well said. And it's absolutely true that we cannot replace political loyalty. We can't substitute our faith and our fidelity to our standard with politics and a political party. And a lot of people we're seeing are substituting that, where they maybe don't actually have faith. They don't go to a church, and so their religion has become politics, and that can get us into some dangerous territory. But at least, perhaps for some of them, they're at least recognizing, even if it's out of pure self-interest, like what we heard from Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins, who was saying, you know, I like cultural Christianity, because even he, as an avowed atheist, recognizes that living in a Christian society that is culturally Christian, that has boundaries of morality and the measurable difference and enforcement of promoting good and restraining evil, as Micah 6:8 commands, and having a government that is legitimate, is better ultimately for even him as an individual. And so even for some of these people who maybe are the cultish sort of sycophants and all of that, I mean, at least they're recognizing that they are recipients of the blessings of liberty. And if we can get them a step further into saying, you know, why that is because it's predicated on truth, that's where we should be going as the church. But let's, I want to address something else, though, that you said about Kamala Harris and saying, and I agree with you that this is not overstating to say that this is an administration that is literally predicated on demonic influence and evil. And we've seen that with her kind of cultish incantation. You know, some of the things that she said and that seem to be word salad, but they're actually part of the occult, and they're it goes back to some of this Baphomet Luciferian sort of incantations, and of course being very pro-abortion, and we've seen, you know, all of the child sacrifice history of all of that, and all of the pagan influence. Even just the one issue of queer theory, and to say that we can redefine what it means to be a human and our intrinsic, immutable characteristic of male and female. And we're going to have to take a break here, and I want to get your thoughts on the other side of the break. Bishop E.W. Jackson, my special guest this morning, his podcast is The Awakening on AFR. This one issue of queer theory and redefining what it means to be human is directly in contradiction with truth. And this is where we know that it is absolutely evil, the propositions that the Democrats are putting forward with this whole LGBTQ agenda. So we'll be right back with Bishop Jackson right here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning right after this. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Speaking truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Welcome back, and I'm speaking with Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's the founder and president of Stand or Staying True to America's Destiny, and also the host of the Awakening podcast right here on American Family Radio Network. You can go to AFR.net, click on podcasts, and find the Awakening. I would highly commend that to your listening, and I know most of you are listening to Bishop Jackson already, as he is a favorite. And before the break, Bishop Jackson, we were talking about this whole idea of queer theory, which is rooted, of course, in this Marxist worldview, which actually is just rooted in demonic theory, mm-hmm. really. I think we should just call it that, because this whole idea that we can transform what it means to be a human is completely contradicting what God himself did at creation, what he tells us in the history of Genesis, that he made us male and female. And that one issue, I think, just fully displays how genuinely demonic this entire leftist agenda is.
Yeah, in fact, Jenna, I've pointed out that the first trans is Satan, because he's the first being to say, I am not satisfied with what God made me to be, an angel. I want to be something else, God. And so I am going to try to transition by exalting my throne above the stars of God and being the Most High. So that spirit of rebellion against what God created you to be versus what you in your own heart think you want to be is really demonic in its origins. So we're seeing that manifested in men and women, as Romans chapter 1 talks about, who give up the natural use of the male or the female and burn in their lust for one another. And now this whole transitioning, I say you can't transition from one gender to another, because your gender is indelibly inscribed in every single cell of your body. So unless you're going to go in and take every cell out and substitute an X chromosome for the Y, or substitute a Y chromosome for the X, you are what you were made and created to be. But this is such, you're right, it is emblematic, symptomatic of the rebellion against God. We will not accept what God has done. We're going to do what we want to do, no matter who says it. And when you translate that into government, Jenna, it becomes the impulse toward tyranny, because we know what's best, not God, not people. We know what's best, And we're going to impose that on everybody. I mean, Satan is the ultimate tyrant, isn't he? Who uses lies, manipulation, force, whatever he can to bend people to his will. And that's exactly what the spirit of, sadly, the Democrat Party has become today. I say it's the party of Antichrist because everything God is for, they're against, and everything God is against, they're for.
And for some people, I mean, I've talked with some friends recently, you know, who are Christian but have this understanding of, well, freedom just means, you know, I'm not going to impose my faith on them, and shouldn't, you know, and they shouldn't impose their faith on me. And if they want to decide, you know, to redefine marriage and be gay married, or they want to be trans, or, you know, how does that really impact anybody else's life? Well, let's live and let live. But that's actually a false definition of freedom, because as you rightly pointed out, to rebel against God's authority and his divine order in the created order and the creation of male and female, specifically for human beings, that we are the only being that is created in his image, is specifically rejecting his authority. And I think that some even Christians can have some trouble connecting those dots on why the policy that the Democrats are wanting to push, how that actually matters to the Christian worldview of this country.
Yeah, and Jenna, look, there's no such thing as a spiritual or cultural vacuum. In other words, all cultures in nations, in fact, in families even, reflect a certain set of values. And the question is, what are those values going to be? Because if you take the word culture, which comes related to the word cultivate, what those values are will cultivate what you produce in terms of people, their attitudes, their behavior. I mean, John Adams said, our Constitution was designed for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. And he said that because our founding fathers believed, as I do and you do, and I believe most of our audience does, that true freedom requires inherent internal virtue, so that you don't need an overweening government telling you everything you must think, say, and do, because you're governed by an internal virtue that wants you to treat your neighbor right, that wants you to be honest with people, that wants you to be productive and responsible for your own life, rather than demanding that others do for you what you can do for yourself. And there's a whole set of ideas that go with that. So when you start going along with the cultural changes they want to implement, you are now talking about developing a very different kind of country down the road. And that's what we're seeing happening right before our very eyes. I mean, when you've got governments telling parents, if you don't allow your children to be injected with hormones and surgically mutilated, we will take those children from you. I mean, Jenna, this is unimaginable, but yet that's where we are.
It is. And Bishop Jackson so well said, because tolerance is never a two-way street, where the left has falsely promoted this talking point for years that all they want is just tolerance for the LGBTQ community. No, they want utter control of not only the narrative, they want control of reality, but they also want control of our children. And what we're seeing in this rapidly foreclosing attempt to clamp down and redefine what it means to have parental rights, or even what it means to be a parent, that, you know, children, I mean, we've seen Joe Biden and Kamala Harris that talk about children belong to the state. This comes from Maoist theory, but ultimately it comes from demonic theory as well, that it's not that God gives children to parents to raise in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but it's up to the state to determine the best interests of the child in lieu of the parent, and can direct them in this indoctrination that is completely false, and to show how this policy really does impact an intolerant society. I just think that the church in so many ways is missing. And not every church. My church is doing a great job. I know your church is doing a great job, but the wider, you know, evangelical and even Catholic community in America is missing highlighting why this matters to the created order instead of just saying, oh, well, politics is too dirty. You know, we just don't want to get into that. That's too controversial. They're missing that this will impact parental rights and also the freedom to exercise our religion, which is specifically textually protected in our First Amendment.
Look, the whole Old Covenant is about, in many ways, how Israel is governed, right? I mean, they had the big controversy over, are we going to have a king? God said, you don't need a king. Let me be your king. But no. We want to have a king. And there are so many scriptures that deal with the interaction of prophets between prophets and kings, or for that matter, queen, if you want to include Jezebel in that process. But God was constantly saying to people, you should be governed by my precepts, okay? Not your own. I think the end of the book of Judges says every man did what was right in his own eyes. And it was absolute chaos. And so we've got to have a culture that is governed by a set of norms and values that help humans to flourish, as opposed to denigrating and destroying the sort of inherent covenant that God intends for human beings to have with one another, that allow us to treat one another well, allows freedom and true liberty to be experienced by everyone. As you and I, I'm sure, have had this discussion with people, we're not interested in imposing our faith on anybody, because first of all, you can't do that as Christians. Christianity is voluntary. If you don't want God, he won't force himself on you, and we can't force God on anybody. Anybody who makes that mistake doesn't understand Christianity. However, Psalm 33:12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And if we want to be blessed, we can't set about to reject God. And you're right, we've got people in our country right now who believe, as Marxists do, God is the problem, religion is the problem, Christianity is the problem. And for the first time in the history of our country, Jenna, Christians are now being turned into second-class citizens and marginalized and delegitimized as not having any appropriate or legitimate role in public discourse. And this is very, very dangerous for the future of America.
It is, because if we follow through with the leftist notion to its logical conclusion, what they're talking about is total absurdity. To say that to have an upright society, or even a well-ordered society, not even broaching a moral society, but just well-ordered, then it has to conform to a set of standards. I mean, think about even playing a board game. You all have to agree on the rules in order to play the game, or play the game well. Otherwise, it's just total chaos, and nobody's actually playing the same game. Or if you think about our traffic laws, even. I mean, we all have to, in order to safely get from point A to point B, we all have to understand what the traffic laws are, and we all have to obey them. We have to yield when we're supposed to. We have to stop at the stop signs. We have to obey those things, not because it is imposing a morality on me, and oh no, my freedom and liberty of driving however I want, as fast as I want, is being infringed upon. It's that no, it has to be well ordered. And then if you take that a step further and say, well, and then when we're talking about particularly criminal law, or we're talking about policy related to parental rights, when we're talking about what can be taught in public schools, when we're talking about, you know, a lot of these policies that necessarily have moral implications, then a well-ordered society also has to agree on the standard of morality. And this is where our founders got it right, because before there were even those three words, we the people, that are very famous, we had this unanimous declaration. And that worldview statement in the Declaration, acknowledging the truth of reality, that truth is self-evident, that our rights come from God, our creator, they're pre-political, that the only legitimate purpose of government is to follow the created order. Then we decided, you know, how to build a society that reflected that. But we unanimously agreed on that at the founding of our country. I don't see that kind of unanimity anymore. And that's where I think the true clash is, Bishop Jackson, between the left and the right, is that we have a different vision, and we don't have uniformity and unanimity anymore on what a well-ordered society or our standard of morality is.
Agenda, they have eroded the consensus that once allowed us to congeal as a society. I was talking to a farmer one time I was running for office in Virginia. We were talking to a farmer, and we got to talking about our dads. I grew up in urban Chester, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. He grew up in Southwest Virginia, and we started laughing and said, you know, I think our dads knew each other, and because they had a common set of values, a common set of ideals that we could relate to. But the left has really sought to erode that now because, of course, they're trying to destroy the nuclear family as God created it. They're certainly trying to destroy morality as we know it and really substitute a whole separate moral standard that they themselves come up with, which just suits whatever whim they have at that moment. So stealing used to be wrong in all cases. Well, now apparently it's not really wrong if it's done with some kind of social justice agenda in mind. And let's not punish people just because they've gone in and stolen, because after all, you know, maybe it really belongs to them ultimately. Anyway, I mean, this is the kind of madness you get when you, as you've put it, walk away from this common set of standards that we once held as a nation, and people just start making stuff up as they go along. And look, Jenna, here's the thing. If we don't have a set of transcendent moral values to which we all answer, then ultimate morality is established at the point of a gun.
That is such a great observation that, yeah, ultimately, where a lot of people are, I think, genuinely fearing that this will result in civil war, it comes down to that when there is a clash of opposing ideologies and what we've seen even in this kind of cold war of the lawfare that has been against Christians, mm-hmm. against conservatives, and using and manipulating and perverting the power of government to impose a different morality and their morality, because the truth is, government is not secular. You can't have an amoral society. Somebody's morality is going to win out. And that's going to happen in a society where if we have this clash, then what we're seeing from a discontented right is that if their issues are not properly being heard, I mean, just like what we're seeing going on in the UK with all of these riots because they're so concerned about the demographic replacement of illegal immigration that's coming in, a huge Muslim population, and they're rioting because their government is not hearing them. I mean, we see this so often as history repeats itself. That is not a good situation for any government. And that is not where I hope our country gets to. I hope that we can instead right this ship, correct it, but it has to come first, I think, with persuasion. And we have to do a better job as the church of not only educating, but persuading our members to be active stewards of our civil government and to understand what is at risk here. And I think we're just getting so close to a turning point of either losing our freedom and liberty as we have known it for our entire lifetimes, and going down the road of a Marxist communist utopia, or actually righting this ship. So let's talk about solutions when we come right back here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. My special guest this morning is Bishop E.W. Jackson, who is the host of the Awakening podcast here at AFR. We will be right back with more.
Truth with love. This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
All right. Well, this is the National Truth for Youth Bible Week on AFR. So it's August 5th through 11th. Help us give away thousands of free Bibles to young people across America as they are returning to school. As we're talking about the importance of truth, there is no better way to understand and learn the truth than to have the Word of God back into public schools through the distribution of the Truth for Youth Bible to teens across our nation. So our goal is to help us get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. Two ways to order the free Bible, tfy.org, Truth for Youth, tfy.org, or you can call 844-530-8890. That's 844-530-8890. All right, so we are talking about the importance of understanding worldview and why all of this matters to law and policy. And you cannot just be a Democrat or a Republican in today's society and miss the foundation of truth and worldview and why morality is essential to a moral and upright society and understanding not only America's heritage, but where we are going. And so my very special guest this morning is Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's the host of the Awakening podcast at AFR. So let's talk about where we are going, Bishop Jackson, how we can, regardless of what happens in November, what do you see as the primary obligation of the Christian as a good steward of the blessings of liberty that God has provided here in the United States to steward our citizenship in this country moving forward?
Yeah, Janet, you said earlier, you were talking earlier about morality and legislation. And I used to hear all the time people say, well, you can't legislate morality. And I would say, all legislation is morality. All legislation is an attempt to say, this is what we think is moral, this is what we think is immoral, this is what we think is right, this is what we think is wrong. The question is, whose values do does that legislation reflect? Whose values do those rules reflect? But I think where we have sometimes made a mistake, and I think this is particularly true on the life issue, is we think that the end of this is really all about the law. And it's actually the end of it is really all about persuading people and seeing people have a change of heart. Because, you know, I really believe with the change of heart, the legislation will follow. But trying to do everything with legislation only leaves you in a constant, unending political battle, which is what we've got. And of course, we fight those battles and we seek to do everything we can to affect an agenda that we really believe reflects God's vision for what a nation, what a society should be. But we've really got to persuade people, Jenna. We've got to help people understand. I think, for example, the de-emphasis of the life issue, which I'm seeing among Republicans right now, I think is just a big mistake, because what they fail to do is understand that we've got to make our case to the American people, not just talk about what we want to do legally, but talk about why one's heart should be committed to saving the lives of unborn children and why that is the right thing to do, why these are human beings, just like we were in the nascent development stages of our lives. These are human beings with a life before them, God's plan before them, and that we as human beings have no right to simply willy-nilly, or based on human and personal convenience, just rob these children of their lives and rob them of their future. I think we've got to make that case, and unfortunately, we don't. We end up simply, and not that this is wrong inherently, but I think it just doesn't go far enough. We end up talking about, well, it's 15 weeks or 21 weeks or you know, we don't want late-term abortions. And like I said, I don't mean to in any way diminish the importance of that discussion, but I think we're not going to be a pro-life society based upon discussions of policy alone. I think we've got to discuss the hearts of human beings and why we ought to be pro-life. So that's just one example of where we need to go. We need to be focused a lot more on making the case and persuading people why Judeo-Christian values and principles help human flourishing, and rejecting those principles lead to human degradation.
Absolutely. And this comes with a comprehensive biblical worldview, and not just learning the truth about theology in church, which we should be learning more about who God is, what his character is, his nature, what he has for us, in terms of first and foremost coming into a right relationship with him and salvation, and then living the Christian life and understanding how we can pursue the truth in everything we do. And then we have to take that truth and apply it in every area of our lives, not just our own personal quiet time in the morning or the time that we spend at church or specifically church activities, we have to take truth and apply it in every area of our lives. And that includes civil government. It includes law and policy. It includes how we understand legitimacy of government and what God has for us to do to help participate in the moral and upright society that we should be striving toward here in America. And so, you know, what would you say for the church on how to bridge that gap of taking what we learn about theology and the nature and character of God himself and applying that in civics specifically, or, you know, as I like to define politics, it's truth in community, how we live together according to a universal standard of truth, which is God himself.
Yeah, one of the problems, I mean, there are a lot of problems here, and what a different church we have and church community we have than what we had during the Revolutionary War period, for example, where churches were unapologetically proclaiming liberty as the will of God for mankind and backing the Revolutionary War and independence from Great Britain. And nobody said, wait, the churches don't have any business addressing that. In fact, de Tocqueville said that it was the vibrancy of the churches that seemed to, that he saw the greatness of America best reflected. And now the church has been convinced, many in the church have been convinced, that the church ought to stay out of public life, that it ought to stay out of discussing public policy, that it shouldn't be involved in these issues. But look, if you exempt any area of life from the influence of the Word of God and the influence of God's truth, then in my view, you're not practicing authentic Christianity, because Christianity, as you've said, I mean, it should impact how we behave as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers and workers and friends and caretakers, and it ought to apply to everything, every aspect of life. It ought to apply in science. It ought to be, you know, used to talk about social issues and graces and education, all of it. And if we exempt what we can call politics, then in my view, what we are really doing is creating an inauthentic Christianity that is meant to be pushed into a certain corner or kept into certain areas and not unleashed and released into the entire culture. And once again, that to me portends the end of a nation. That's the beginning of a nation's downfall. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." You become a nation that forgets God, you get turned into a hellish nation. And so Christians have got to get involved, get active in every dimension of life. Get active in your children's school. And of course, government schools are a whole different matter, which we may not have time to get into. But get active in the civic life of your community. I'm not asking people to give up the responsibilities that they have for their own home, their own family. But my goodness gracious, look, if the culture degenerates into the monstrous thing that it could become, that we've seen in other places in history, nations become, What your family's not going to really mean anything. It doesn't mean anything when somebody can tell you that you're in trouble for what you said, and so is your family because they're related to you, and you're all going to the gulag or you're all going to the labor camp. I mean, so we've got to take some responsibility for our nation and its direction. And I think the key to that for the individual is just being willing to stand up for truth. Do it in love. Do it without rancor. But do it. And if we don't, if we're not salt and light, Jesus said, then we don't have any purpose. I mean, if the salt loses its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. And if the light is hidden under a basket, what good is it? It doesn't bring any hope or help or healing to anything. So I think Christians have just got to be willing to speak up and stand up for the truth, no matter what situation they're in. And that certainly includes the realm of politics.
Amen and amen. And as you were saying that just so eloquently, and that's such a great encouragement and admonishment to all of us to engage in our culture and engage in civics. And we have not only the duty and the responsibility, but the privilege here in America. I mean, there are countries across the world that you don't have the type of availability that we do to engage in our body politic as we do here in America. And that's one of the reasons I'm so proud to be an American, because of our heritage, because of the blessings of liberty. But we can't just say, well, great, I want to have the effects of that, but I don't want to participate in continuing that for the next generations to come. I wish that every Christian would take the responsibility and obligation of participation in civil government as seriously as we take participation and our roles in our family and our roles in our church. I mean, we all know and we all agree that we have to be active participants in our families. I mean, if our family is not functioning, if there's absent fathers or there's, you know, mothers that that are not actually raising their children and discipling them, I mean, those are problems, and we readily recognize that as church. If you're not an active member of your church and you are not giving to that ministry with your time and your money, then we would say you need to be a member of a church. God calls us to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together in the ecclesia. And somehow we've just skipped over this, but it's fine if you don't have that same kind of active participation in civics and in the other institution that God has ordained, which is the civil government. And we can do that in such a more meaningful way as Americans. And I think we need to take from this conversation an exhortation that if you are just a passive critic of the culture and of government, but you're not an active participant in bringing the truth to government and to your local community, then that's something that you need to seriously look at, perhaps repent for, and to bring the truth and actively engage in your communities and live, as Abraham Hamilton III always says so wisely, live locally. And it doesn't mean, you know, that you have to go out and run for office or you derelict your duties to your family or your church or, you know, anything that like that that you just said, Bishop Jackson. I mean, nobody's saying that. But where you can, when you can, and how you are commanded to and discharging your duty faithfully as a Christian, we need to be active participants, because it's always wild to me how the left will say, oh, separation of church and state, you know, you can't bring your faith, Christians, into society. But they're fully willing to have their worldview, their religion, mm-hmm. their queer theory, they're fully willing to bring that to the legislation floor. They're willing to advocate for that in courts of law and justice. They're willing to put that into policy. It's only the Christians that have to stand by. And we've largely accepted that and said, okay, sorry. If we argue for pro-life, it'll just be on the virtues and the basis of science, but far be it for me to impose my religion on you. That's ludicrous, and we need to stop buying into that.
You know, Jenna, first of all, people need to make sure that they're going to a good, strong, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, because according to George Barna, about 75% of the churches in America have rejected the Bible as God's word, and so they're really just reflections of the broader culture rather than reflections of the kingdom of God. But you are absolutely right. And I would just add this. Folks, don't think that we're going to get through this without any suffering. You know, there's an old song that says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. You know, if you're going to stand up at your business when they start imposing these seminars on you where you've got to think differently about homosexuality and gender confusion and all of that, and you say, well, look, I don't want to participate in that, you know, you may be threatened with the loss of your job. But we've got to trust Jesus to take care of us. We may be threatened with, as I'm sure some of the people on this program know what I'm talking about, sometimes with the loss of your life if you don't shut up. But we've got to be willing to suffer in order to advance the truth. I mean, you know, Christianity was birthed in blood. Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross for our sins, that we might have a right to the tree of life and a right to be with him for all of eternity. And then the apostles all died in the most horrific circumstances, standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we Americans have been spoiled. We've never really had to suffer for our faith because it's been a faith-friendly nation. Well, that's changing. And we got to make sure we don't lose this nation so it becomes a nation in which the hostility to Christianity is such that Christians cannot live really any kind of meaningful life, at least you know, in the sense of having a decent job and being able to know that your job is secure and your faith is not going to stop you from being able to get promoted and all that. We don't want that kind of society, but that's the kind of society we're being pushed toward. And Jenna, that's why I ran for president, not because I thought I was going to overtake Donald Trump, but because I thought somebody needs to bring up the fact that America's got to come back to God if we want to be the blessed and successful and prosperous nation that we've been.
Amen to that. Thank you so much for standing for truth, for encouraging everyone else to stand for truth. And just speaking from my own personal experience, I mean, standing for truth can cost you a lot. And it's not just standing for truth against the left. Sometimes, like me, standing for truth even against the right and against, you know, all of these condemnations of, oh, you're a sellout or you caved or whatever, that's just utterly false. I know that I'm right with God. I know that I am standing for the truth in every area. And that has to ultimately be our standard, regardless of the lies that anyone says. So, Bishop Jackson, thanks so much. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net. Stand for the truth. We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.